Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of August 13th, 2023. It's entitled, Wisdom Starts with Realizing How Much You Need It. We'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 19 today. Proverbs 4, 1 to 19. The call to worship is taken from Psalm 111, verses 1 and 2, and 9 and 10 from the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord! I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with His godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord! All who delight in Him should ponder them. He has paid a full ransom for His people. He has guaranteed His covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name He has. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commands will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever. Amen. We are continuing our look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a collection of wisdom from a variety of authors, with King Solomon being the principal contributor. Today we are looking at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 19, in which a father, possibly Solomon, addresses his sons. In these verses, there are two main sections, starting at verse 1 and at verse 10, and each of these sections begin with the word, listen. Listen. Now, although in the Hebrew text the father is addressing his sons, these words are for all of us, regardless of gender. So I don't mind those translations which address the students as children. However, having taught boys in Sunday school, club, and as a camp counselor, I can hear the father in this chapter attempting to get the serious, full attention of a group of boys. Look at verses 1 and 2. Listen, pay attention, gain understanding. Let me read the verses 1 and 2. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. In verses 3 to 9, the father shares lessons on wisdom which he learned from his father. So in these verses, verses 3 to 9, first of all, we see that wisdom is a family treasure. It can be a family treasure. And in verses 3 and 4, we see teaching about wisdom began at an early age. For the father who's now teaching his children, teaching about wisdom began at an early age. Verses 3 and 4 say, "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and said, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live.'" The father now explains that the wisdom he is teaching them is what he was taught when he was a child, taught by his father. The father is stressing the importance of what he is about to say has been guiding him since childhood, and he is making himself a living illustration of what he's now teaching about wisdom. Okay, kids, what I'm about to tell you is what has determined who I am. It's guided my life. And he's saying, what I'm teaching you is what your grandfather lived and passed on to me, and what I live now, and I pass it on to you. This is our family treasure. Wisdom is not a collection of facts in your head. They are life values which impact your choices in how you live and respond to the world around you. Is that the wisdom you have? So this family treasure, he continues. Let me begin at the second half of verse 4 to verse 9, and we see the value of fully committing to wisdom. The value of fully committing to wisdom. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Now these verses, the second half of verse 4 and verse 5, contain the urgent plea to get or acquire wisdom. And verse 7 says that it is worth, gaining wisdom is worth all that you have. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Get wisdom. This sounds like Jesus' parable of finding the pearl of great price. When the merchant found this pearl, he automatically recognized that it was priceless. And I think we get the idea that he rejoiced in being able to purchase this, even though it took everything he owned. But he considered it worth that. That's what the writer of Proverbs is saying, that, you know, look for wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have, it's that priceless. Attain it. Get it. Verses 7, 8, and 9 highlight the value of fully committing to wisdom. And as you look at these verses, 6, 8, and 9, they move back and forth between the effort that we are to make to get wisdom, to keep wisdom, and to walk in wisdom. And then a contrastor shows us the dividends that will result if you do so. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Cherish her, verse 8, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, the second half of verse 8, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. We've already seen that wisdom has, in chapter 1, personified as a woman and calling out to the simple, the mockers and the fools to come and get wisdom, calling out on the city streets. We see here in chapter 4, once again, wisdom is feminine. But the relationship described now between the person that is looking for wisdom and wisdom is very personal. You know, do not forsake. Love her, cherish her, embrace her. Why do you think this might be? You know, suddenly it sounds like we're to enter into a relationship. Why would that be? Who was the original audience of this proverb? Well, sons, likely teens. And what gets a teen's boy's attention? Well, teen girls, women. This wise father knows the temptations that his son will face. He's touched on the adulterous woman in chapter 2 and will soon deal in depth with the dangers of sexual temptation in the next chapter, chapter 5, and then in chapter 7. Here in chapter 4, the father is presenting wisdom as a partner to look for, stay with, and trust completely, whether it be male or female, a partner to invest in and trust. And you will find you are rewarded as you do so. Wisdom will not let you down or disappoint you. Wisdom is both devoted and rewarding to those who fully commit. In these verses, we see the value of committing to wisdom. In verse 4b to 9, the value of committing to wisdom is, first, the end of verse 4 is life. You will live. Wisdom brings life with all its blessings. We're reminded here of God's promises to his people as Moses shared them in Deuteronomy chapter 30. We see that following the Lord's commands brings life. Not death, brings life. Wisdom brings life along with its blessings. Secondly, in verse 6, we see wisdom brings security, protection, and safety. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Protection and safety. Security is the second one. And thirdly, in verses 8 and 9, we see that committing to wisdom brings honor. Honor. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. This is especially due to the character that walking in wisdom produces. These virtues that are recognizable by the community. Recognizable by the community, by those that maybe don't even share your faith. Now in the second section, we see the walk of wisdom in verses 10 to 19 contrasted to the path of the wicked. Verses 10 to 19 contrast the walk of wisdom with the path of the wicked. In verses 10 to 13, we see the walk of wisdom. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. We see here, first of all, in verse 10, the walk of wisdom extends life. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. The path of wisdom is a lifestyle that avoids the things that lead to an early death. Criminal activities. Adultery with another man's wife or another woman's husband. Path of wisdom is a lifestyle that avoids the things that lead to an early death. So it, first of all, extends life. Then in verses 11 and 12, it avoids the obstacles of foolishness. The walk of wisdom avoids the obstacles of foolishness. Fools don't see the connection between their foolishness and the consequences. They do not see that their laziness has led to them not having a job. They think their employer mistreated them. The fool does not see the connection between his porn problem and the train wreck of his marriage. He thinks that his wife wasn't as responsive as she should have been. The fool doesn't see how his actions led him to stumble. Pastor Warren Wiersbe says, when you receive God's truth into your heart, God renews your mind, remember Romans 12, verse 2, and enables you to think wisely. This helps you make right decisions and experience the guidance of God day by day so that you will avoid the obstacles of foolishness. And then in verse 13, hold on to instruction, do not let it go, guard it well, for it is your life. Not only extends life, wisdom gives life. gives life. Walking in wisdom is life itself, and therefore wisdom must be guarded and maintained. Maintained, it gives life. A walk of wisdom extends life, avoids the obstacles of foolishness, and gives life. Now we're told about the path of the wicked. The path of the wicked, verses 14 to 19. The Father says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So here, as we are looking at the path of the wicked, first of all, the Father says very clearly to his sons, avoid it. Avoid it. Don't even take one step down the path of the wicked, because you may not be the master of your destiny thereafter. We've heard too many sad stories about people trying something just once. It was my first time, and a train wreck was the result. Don't even take one step down the path of the wicked. One can clearly see the urgency in the warnings of the Father here in verse 15. He wants to be sure that his boys truly hear him. Well, yes, talking to children, but again, I have this picture of boys. Listen to verse 15. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. He is emphasizing, he's making his point. This is serious. Don't dabble in it. Don't think, well, it's just a little. Only for a few years. It's just my gap year. Don't be tempted to even try. Why? The second point, verses 16 and 17, the Father says the path of the wicked is enslaving. Why avoid it? Because it is enslaving, verses 16 and 17. The Father tells his son not to take even one step on the path of the wicked, for you may not be the master of your destiny. One can clearly see the urgency in the warnings of the Father in this verse. They can't rest until they do evil. That's what they live for. They're robbed of sleep until they can make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It becomes what nourishes them, doing wickedness and violence. They can't rest until they've taken something from somebody. Is that who you want to become? That's where the path of the wicked lead. The Father is saying, don't take a step on it. It's enslaving. And thirdly, he says it's dangerous. It is dangerous. Verses 18 and 19. 18 describes the way of the righteous as visible, as discernible, as navigable. You can navigate on it. You can see where you're going. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, verse 105, which says of God's word, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." You know, we're describing here a hilly, rocky place. You know, we're so fortunate these days. Our roads now are built and designed for maximum safety. But in years gone by, the pathways and the roads, they just followed the contour of the line, up and down. The cattle trails, whichever way the sheep went. and there were rocks. This is rocky soil. Now imagine navigating this with no light, in the dark. No wonder you would stumble, twisting back and forth, up and down. This is a description of the life of the wicked. It is dangerous. In verse 19, shows the path of the wicked as being dangerous and insecure. This lifestyle is pictured as like walking in deep darkness and not even knowing what you've stumbled over. Not even understanding what that obstacle was. Now, as Christians, we have come to see that the wisdom described in the book of Proverbs is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the source of our wisdom. The Monday, August 7th, Our Daily Bread, drew our attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 20, which sounds like almost a paraphrase of Proverbs 4. Here, the Apostle Paul uses the image of walking in darkness to describe our life before choosing to accept Jesus as Lord of our life. And walking in the light is choosing to please Jesus with our life and follow him and his commands. Ephesians 5, 8 to 20 says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from God. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" So listen to verse 15 here. "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word." Did you catch what Paul said in verse 15 and following? 15 to 17, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." Christian, this is describing a deliberate choice each of us must make. The Lord has brought us out of darkness into the light, but I must choose to walk in a way that is wise and honors him. I'm going to close with a paraphrase of Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Now, this is a description of what to look for in an elder. But in this paraphrase, it's been turned into a prayer of who I want to be, who I believe the Lord wants us to be. So Titus 1, 6 to 8. "I want to be above reproach, blameless as your steward, O God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not fond of dishonest gain, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sensible, just, holy, and self-controlled. Amen. Thank you for joining us. I trust that you have been encouraged to realize how important God's wisdom is to you and to dive into it, to seek it. It's worth everything, the wisdom of Christ, to imitate him. Thank you for joining us. The Lord bless you today. Goodbye.